Well, my friends, here we are. The COVID-19 pandemic continues to dramatically impact the lives of everyone around the world. It has spread around the world and into our community, and it will continue to impact our lives for the foreseeable future. For tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people, they now face bereavement. Because as of yesterday, over 13,000 people had already died from the virus. And many of you have faced difficult things this past week. Some of you may have had your hours reduced at work, or you may have been laid off from work. Some of you had to lay other people off at work. Many are very concerned about their retirement or their savings. And those of you who continue to need to work, or are in an essential service, face the stress of wondering, is someone going to give me the virus? Then, of course, parents have to struggle through this whole challenge of not having kids in school and all the usual recreational facilities that we use when our kids aren't in school closed right now. And some of you know or live near or are sick right now. On top of those who have compromised immune systems, and you wonder, where will things go from here? Well, I'm here today to remind you that God does not leave us during times like this. And we are going to go to one of the most comforting psalms in Scripture to help gain or regain this perspective. It's called Psalm 91, and we're going to discover several ways that God cares for his people during perilous or troubled times. And I pray that these words are going to give you courage, hope, perspective, and comfort during this time. So if you have a Bible, would you find Psalm 91? If you're following along on the YouVersion, you can find the text there as well, I believe. And I'm going to read from the English Standard Version all of this psalm, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide or live in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. How does God care for his people during troubled times? Well, the first thing that we discover is he brings us under his protection. The psalmist himself speaks to begin this psalm. And he talks about those close to God and how those close to God receive his protecting care. He or she who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So this is both a condition and a promise. First, you and I have to dwell or live in the shelter of the Most High. To live under someone's shelter means you have to be close to them. You can't be 1,000 kilometers away from someone and expect to be under their shelter. You have to come close to experience their shelter. So the first phrase of this psalm reveals that we must come close to God to experience the care that is talked about here. We can easily drift from God when life is normal and clicking along at high speed. We have so many other things to get to and so many other ways in which we invest our time that God often gets the scraps. But now, life does not click along normally. And if we've been far from God, we can come back from Him, come back to Him. We need to renew those practices of ongoing fellowship with God, reading His Word, responding to His Word in prayer, worshiping Him in song, and talking with Him throughout the day. And all these practices help bring us close to God where we find shelter. And then look at what happens for those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High at the end of verse 1. We will abide or live under the shadow of the Almighty. All of us have faced our frailty and lack of control over these last weeks. We have realized so much is beyond our control. Yet as we heard last week, God is sovereign. He remains in control. Through all the craziness that is going on around us, He casts a long shadow over those who draw near to Him. And in this case, His shadow is a good thing. Shadows can comfort when they originate from someone who is defending us. Then the psalmist goes on in verse 2 to declare his trust in the Lord. But he also paints another picture of protection. He says, "You are my refuge and my fortress." Well, in ancient times, when an invading army threatened a region, all the people from that region would go to the walled city and go into the fortress or the refuge. There they would receive protection that they themselves could not provide. In the refuge, in the fortress, spears and arrows do not even dent it. So they would run to this refuge for protection. And the psalmist sees the Lord like this. Though the psalmist is weak, the Lord is strong. Though the psalmist is vulnerable, the Lord is a fortress. And in declaring his trust in the Lord, the psalmist seems to be saying to us, "I have experienced this. I have confidence in the Lord. What I am about to declare to you, I can testify as being true." So in times of trouble or peril, the Lord brings those close to Him under His protection. Then starting in verses 3 all the way to verse 13, the psalmist changes focus. Instead of his own personal trust in the Lord, he begins speaking to those reading or listening to him talk. And when he speaks, and you see the word "you" in the text, he's not talking about you all, you people. He's talking you individually. It's like he's taking a direct approach to us and saying, "What I am saying applies directly to you and to your life." And so, as we go into these verses, we discover the next way that God cares for us during times of peril. In verses 3 and 4, the psalmist declares that the Lord shields us from life's deadly dangers. The Lord shields us from life's deadly dangers. Verse 3, "For He will deliver you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence." So the first image is one of us going along in life and falling into a trap. And a good trap holds its prey until the hunter can come and clear the trap. And you and I fall into traps in life from which we cannot free ourselves. But then the Lord comes along and He frees us, not as a hunter, but as a caregiver. The second phrase in verse 3 has a very relevant promise for all of us here today. It says, "He will deliver you from the deadly pestilence or disease or plague or virus." For some of us, this verse has meaning in our lives for the very first time. This virus has killed over 13,000 people. Yet, this verse reminds us that deadly pestilence has been a part of human history for as long as it has gone on. The people who first heard this verse about 3,000 years ago faced deadly pestilence, and God was their caregiver during that time. The Lord has the power to deliver his people from such disease. Yet this verse begs some deeper thought. Does it promise that the Lord will deliver anyone who is close to him from this pestilence? Does it guarantee that Christians don't have to fear, since the Lord guarantees our protection? If so, the verse seems to be saying too much. We have received no news that the only people who are dying from this virus are those who don't know Christ. And I believe it careless to use a verse like this to promise blanket deliverance to God's people. We must read such a verse in light of the whole of Scripture. God never promises complete deliverance of trouble for us in this life. In fact, Jesus himself says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Even in Psalm 91 and verse 15 later on, the Lord says, "I will be with him or her in trouble." Therefore, I believe we cannot conclude that this verse guarantees deliverance from all pestilence. But this verse reminds us not to underestimate God's ability to deliver us from pestilence or disease. God has the power to intervene and protect in ways that we cannot imagine. And instead of putting our faith only in isolation and hand washing and social distancing and government decisions, we must put our faith in the Lord, our refuge, our trust, our God. Verse 4 then contains a beautiful image of God protecting his people. It is the image of a mother bird protecting her chicks under her feathers or wings. And if you read my Facebook post on this verse earlier this week, you know that I don't know why the English Standard Version translated feathers as pinions. I think in their attempt to be literal, they made the verse more obscure. Most people don't go around and say, "Look at that bird flying with his pinions." We say feathers or wings, and we understand feathers and wings. And the mother bird puts her babies under her wings or feathers. But notice, with that kind of protection, the protector has to pay. The mother bird, if protecting her babies from cold or from heat, has to bear the cold or heat herself. And this is a beautiful picture of God's self-sacrificing love for us, fulfilled ultimately with Jesus himself, when he bore the wrath of God, the suffering we deserved, the punishment, all that we deserve because of our sins, he bore, he suffered in going to the cross. So God ultimately protected us under his wings through Jesus. And if God can provide us that ultimate protection, he can also provide us with protection under his wings today with what we face. Then in verses 5 and 6, we see another way that God cares for his people during troubled times. Here we see he provides ongoing protection day and night. Notice how in these verses there's alternating times between night and day, between darkness and light. It is like the psalmist is saying, it doesn't matter what time of day, it doesn't matter where it is, the Lord will continue to protect you. The Lord does not come and say, "I will protect you for my daily shift," and comes at 8 in the morning and goes home at 4:30 with a half-hour lunch break, and then says, "You're on your own from 4:30 in the afternoon until 8 in the morning." No, the Lord protects all through the day, all through the evening, and all through the night, protecting us from the terrors of the night or something that might happen in the middle of the day that threatens us or suddenly comes upon us. And in verse 6, the psalmist provides an accurate description of plague or pandemic. He talks about a pestilence that stalks in darkness. It's like it waits for an unknown or unseen moment, but then it suddenly strikes. Yet this would not surprise the Lord. He is aware of all the threats and dangers that we face. And though he may not deliver us from all that we face, he has delivered us from many more things than we even remember. Think back in your life to close calls, to times when you almost died or your life was at risk, and now you continue to live. Well, the Lord was there delivering you from those close calls so that you could continue to live to today. And then in verses 9 and 10, the psalmist alerts us to another way that God protects his people. He guards us from evil and malignant forces. Malignant means bad or something intent on causing harm. Evil forces wage war against God's people. In Ephesians 6:12, we read, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And yes, according to Ephesians 6, you and I need to put on the armor of God to resist evil, to fight against it. But here in Psalm 91, we are reminded the Lord himself is also at war against the evil that wages war against us. And the Lord demonstrates this by sending his angels to help us. This is the next way that God protects us. He commands his angels to guard and guide us. The Lord commands his angels to go and stand guard over us in all of our ways. So he commissions his angels to this guard duty. And they watch out and protect us, even watching the very steps that we take. Verse 12 says, "On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." So it's like they watch where we're stepping or where we're about to step. And at times they will intervene to, in some way, lift us over some trouble spot that we're unaware of, that God wants us to avoid. But this does not mean that we have permission then to be reckless with our lives and then call out for angels to deliver us from whatever we've gotten ourselves into. Some of you may recognize verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 91 as quoted in the New Testament, or more accurately, misquoted in the New Testament by Satan himself. And he uses these verses to tempt Jesus to jump off the high point of the temple, saying, "Why don't you jump off? For the scriptures say he will command his angels to guard you in all your ways so that you will not hit the stones below." And Jesus refuses, showing us we don't use such verses to test God and play games. This protection is offered to people who faithfully, daily are walking with God and enjoy this supernatural protection offered by his holy angels. And when we're unaware of the many dangers and traps that are before us, God is sending his angels to guard and guide us past them. And then the last way that God cares for his people in troubled times is found in verses 14 to 16. And here the perspective of the psalm changes, the speaker changes to the Lord himself. And the Lord reveals to us here that he is going to remain present with us in times of trouble. Notice the Lord restates the condition that we talked about earlier. Remember, he who dwells in the shelter of the Almighty will rest in the shadow of the Most High. Well, there's that need to be close to God, to be under his protection. And here in verse 14, the Lord states closeness to him in a different way. He says, "Because he or she holds me fast or close in love, I will protect. So that's you and me and our need to hold God close in our hearts in love. God will protect those who come close to him. If people want to go apart from God and go their own way outside of his protection, they have total freedom to do so. And they try to face life dangers on their own. But the one who dearly loves the Lord experiences one who is willing to stay with us and remain with us in trouble. And it is amazing as you look at verses 14 to 16 to see seven declarations from God about what he will do for his people. He says, I will deliver. I will protect. I will answer. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue. I will honor. I will show my salvation. So in the midst of this time of worldwide trouble, the Lord remains with us. So your and my response is pretty simple. We need to first come close to God, and then we need to stay close to him. And if you, before this virus hit, were far away from God and have wandered from God, it's time to come back and be close to him. And to restart those practices of fellowship, of reading your Bible, of praying in response, of singing to him throughout the day, of talking with him and talking about him with others. And some of you watching today might never have come close to God before in your life. You've been going it your own way, your entire life, trying to deal with life on your own. But now is the time to come close to God. And God made a way for you to come close. In sending his son Jesus, God paved the way. For Jesus took the penalty for our sins on himself. And Jesus paid for them with his blood. So that anyone who calls out to the Lord can be saved, can come close, can come under God's protection and care. And so if you've never come close to the Lord, I want to invite you to do that today by just calling out to God to save you, to put your trust and the trust of your life onto Christ, and God will receive you into his family, and you will be instantly under his protective care. And for those of us who continue on this journey of trying to stay close to the Lord, we need to continue to go to him each day as the news mounts and we try to take it all in, to take a break from all of that and stay close and come close to our Lord. To that end, and with all of these things in mind of the ways in which God cares for his people during perilous times, let us come to him now in prayer. And oh God, we come to you today as our protector, our shelter, our refuge, our fortress. We need you desperately, and we have always needed you desperately, but our need is more apparent now. And so I pray, Lord, for those who have been far from you, who have wandered from you, that they will come back. Those who never have known you will come for the first time. And those who walk with you to continue to receive your courage, your comfort. Thank you, O God, that you remain with us in trouble, that you shelter us under your wings, that you wage war against evil, that you protect us day and night, and that you are our shelter. Enable us as a people to live with this faith, to shine this faith and this hope to all around who are fearful and anxious during this time. And we trust you to continue to guard and guide us through all of this. Praying this in the name of Jesus, who endured the ultimate suffering to protect us all. We pray. Amen.